We want to look at Paul's three men. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. So basically, it's the title I just picked. I like the title, Paul's three men. But we're going to look at it in our own way, in our own light. Is that clear? Based on what we have taught. Every teaching is always a continuation, a continuum of the things we've taught in the past. So you see this as the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man, the things which God prepares for them, or which God has prepared for them that love him. In the Greek, it's for them that he loves. For anyone, for them that love him, for them that he loves. We'll look at what does it mean to love God, what does it mean for God to love you. But let me put this way. Because you could look at it and say, we're starting that teaching again. See, the journey of Christianity is a journey in knowledge. Of course, the knowledge is to an end. We don't just acquire knowledge. We are acquiring knowledge so that we can do them. Like James would say, do not be hearers alone, but be doers of the word. So sometimes people jump to wanting to do the word, but you've got to hear first. So you must not just be, I want to do the word. Of course, that's the end goal. But if I don't know how to hear the word, I cannot know how to do the word. I will do it, dukudu. Amen. Whatever that means. That means I'll act on the word wrongly if I don't know how to listen. So, Christianity itself is a journey in knowledge. Peter will say in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, grow in grace. That means there's no way I can grow without knowledge. It will say, grow in grace. That is, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. That is, the way I will grow is that I will know. You like the rhyme? The way I will grow in Christ is that I will know him more. Growth in Christ is not exemplified by your money. Oh, my account, OT Robo. Now I have $89 million in my account. I wish. So I have grown in Christ. No. Growth in Christ is evidenced on the knowledge of the Son of God. Do you know him? So a believer can never be at the place where we are satisfied with knowledge. The psalmist will say, the knowledge of him, his goodness, his mercy, they are new every morning. That is, you can't explore the ends of the ocean. That is the same way you can explore the knowledge of Christ. We'll keep finding out. What did I say? We'll keep finding out. So when you say, you know, then we go again. We know more. Hallelujah. Say, I know more. So, of course, the end knowledge, the end goal of knowledge is so that we can do it. So that it can set our lives in order. Right? But like I said earlier, what you don't know, you can't do. Practice without knowledge will be error. In the medical field, you'll be called a quack. Say, but it works. It works is not the evidence of genuine, of being genuine. That something works does not mean it's genuine. It reminds me of one brother like that. I was saying, let's call the engineer. Because I like people doing what they know. Amen. Amen. Let's call the engineer. I've seen them do it before. It's just this wire and this wire. I saw him that day. It's just this red and this black. Once they touch, light will come on. I said, is it that simple? If it's that simple, I should be doing it. Fine, I will never climb anything electricity. Count me out. Amen? So, he put the red and the black together actually. And the light came on. It was 2013. The light came on. And everybody clapped him. But something in me was not just at rest. This guy was fine. It was another person, but it was the guy. Go. So, you know, there are some people, you know, that they don't know what they are doing. They have an history of not knowing what they are doing. So I said, okay. So the next day, we just woke up to a smell everywhere. A place had caught fire. But it worked. Amen? That something works is not the evidence that is genuine. So, hearing is part of learning. Those who don't know how to hear the mind of God, they have missed the first step of being blessed. Being blessed will come from doing the word, right? Blessed are those who hear to do. That's what James will say. The same one will be blessed in all his ways. But before I can do, I must hear. I must know. I must learn. So go back to 1 Corinthians 2:9. Okay, there's no need to go back. That's where you are. So it says, as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. That's Isaiah 64. There was a year we agreed that we will not be mentioning verses and chapters. How many of you were around that year? In a bid so that we can read the Bible more. So I just say, eyes have seen. I just say, that's Isaiah. You going to find out where in Isaiah. I think that'll be good. Right? We just say, according to James, be not hear us only. It's now left to you to go and find where it is in James. I think we should do that. So that we can be better students of God's word. Right? I'll try it. I'll see how it works. But I don't know how it's going to look. Alright. As written, eyes have not seen, as Isaiah, yet nor ears heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man, the things which God has planned or has prepared for them that love him. So before you think it's about you being great, calm down. Eyes have not seen what God has prepared for me. May whatever greatness you want to have, the eyes have not seen, may you not be that greatness, because I don't know what kind of greatness you are chasing. The eyes have not seen. You want to become the devil? See, what God wants to do your future, eyes have not seen it. I prophesy. As the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Neither has it come to the heart of man. What God wants to do in your life, I decree, if I be a man of God, in this new month of July, what I have not seen will happen to you. Why didn't you say amen? You say, reason now. Why will you want what eyes have not seen? You say, reason now. Why don't you just go for what eyes have seen? Say that what I have seen is low. Start from low now. See where you are coming from. But what is Paul talking about? Whose eyes have not seen it? Whose ears have not heard it? Because if you read very well, the next verse says, but God has revealed it. So, there's a problem in reading. You just cherry picked. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, but God has revealed it. So, eyes have seen it. Okay, eyes have not seen, ears have heard it, because God has revealed it. So, sometimes we take the Bible and say, but can't the Holy Ghost, naman paramo, can't the Holy Ghost use it for me? But is it the Holy Ghost using it for you? You are the one using it for you. Amen. So, God has revealed it. You can't make the Bible say what the Bible did not say. We can't make the Bible say what we want. Let me go Gen Z wise. The Bible said what it said. Hallelujah. Whether it hurts you, whether it gladdens you, the Bible has said what it has said. And we must honor, remember the last series of the prophets, we're looking at how to honor what the prophet's experiences. Remember, how many were there? Up. Good. To honor the prophet's experiences. There were things that happened in their days that were their experience. We can't take that away from them. We can't use that to say, oh, they were talking about Jesus. Isaiah experienced the death of Uzziah. Amen. David killed Goliath. Don't put Jesus as the stone. So who is Goliath? He said, that's the devil. What about his brothers? He said, those are demons. What about the shield? What about Goliath's armor? So that's deceitfulness, lies. Can you see? One carnal reading leads to another carnal reading. Before you know it, you are Guru Maharaj. Is it making sense? The Bible has said what it has said. You must read it in context. So you can say, eyes have not seen. It means, see what God is planning for me this year. Calm down. Read it. Read it well. We must stick to the meaning. Are there places in the Bible that talks about God's plan for you and God's purpose in your heart? Of course. Jeremiah literally said, the plan I have for you are of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah literally said that. So, why are you trying to twist another scripture to mean what it does not mean? The scripture will mean today what it meant 2,000 years ago. We can't change it. Our situations cannot bend it. The Holy Ghost is still saying what he said. Let me show you something. Look at Job chapter 14. Someone asked her, come and speak on the topic. And this was their theme. This was their, what do you call it now? Then when you give topic, you now put the verses. I felt, okay, this is nice. It was Job 14:14. Change. That things can change for you. So, I knew Job, so I went to read that and said, okay. This is this many years ago. And my mouth was sharp then. My mouth is no longer sharp. I'm now a child of God, a minister of the gospel. Gentle. Meek. Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Till my change come. So, the title was My Change Has Come. So I said, this change will never come to you in Jesus' name. Because that's funeral. Job was expecting death. That change he was talking about was dying. You just needed to read it. They said something in Job 14:14. Why not start from verse 1? Why not start from Job chapter 1? Job is telling you, till my change come, and you took it. He was waiting for death. It's the same way I used some years ago in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Remember? It says, we shall not all sleep till we are changed. And I used it in a vigil. I was already preaching, you know, I was already preaching the gospel of Christ that time. So this one is not I was already preaching the gospel of Christ. This was 2010. I was already preaching the gospel of Christ. We had a prayer retreat. I said, we shall not all sleep till we are changed. That is, change must happen this night. And Paul was talking about death. That was the change. And so, you need to look at what is the Bible saying. You can't just assume. You need to read it. Can the Bible just say it for me? Look at 1 Corinthians 3 now. You know? So, the work of Bible study is the work of knowing the truth of God's word. It must not be twisted. If we twist it, we become false teachers. All in the name of, I want God to do something for me. Then I go take what God did not say. Then I say, he said it. According to your word. Which word? He said, all your children will be billionaires. And EFCC is looking at you. If all of us are billionaires in this place. You know, how many security do you have downstairs, Papa? One or two. And I don't think there are even security like that. If all of us are billionaires, you think you sit down like this? Kalabuska. Kedibandaya. According to your word, nobody will suffer in the world. When did God say that? So, I chose so. Say, but can the Holy Ghost not use it for me? So I told him, go to 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 20. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things to come, all are yours. You are Christ, and Christ is God. Yes, I know the context. The context is Paul, Apollos, Peter, the world, life, death, things present, things to come. He said, all things are mine. All things are mine. I can have all things. I said, is that what God is ministering to you? Say yes. That the Holy Ghost, that I'm making it too rigid. And I understood what he was saying. I'm making it too rigid. That the text must mean just the text. That what about what the Holy Ghost wants to do to apply it to his own life? So I said, okay. But you know, it's not just your own life too. My own life too. He said, yes, as you are a Christian too, all things are yours. I said, okay, good. So I said, your beautiful wife, yeah. She's mine. I was not married. Stop being at me. She's mine. So, if you are crying, let us be seen. You know, Yorubas have been seen. Right? When you are crying, you have to see. Amen. So, suddenly all things are no longer mine. If all things are yours, ask some people to become president of the country now. You know, there's a politician that said, you give him 2 years. Like, even 2 years, you just quickly do it and get out. Because all things are not yours. Amen. Walk to Chevron today and just say, I'm the MD. Why? The Bible says all things are mine. You will discover that all things are not yours. Forget Chevron. Come to my own place of work. Money we are managing. Say it's yours. I'm gonna arrest you. I will to God. I will arrest you. I know your name. They don't need to interview you. I'll give them your name, your age, address. Because all things are not yours. You can come to my house and carry my wife and say it's yours. Amen. Imagine someone just meet you on the road, say I'm a believer, and they carry you. Just carry you. Say why? All things are mine. Why do you pay your dominus if all things are yours? So can you see how vain sometimes your application might be? All things are not yours. You need to find out what is yours. He was talking to the church in Corinth about their divisions. Some were saying, I'm of Peter. Some were saying, I'm of Paul. Some were saying, me, it's Apollos, I'm following. You know? It's like saying, I'm following pastor. And I don't like pastor like that. It's Bro Pam I like. So I'm a disciple of Bro Pam in this church. And I was saying, no, I don't like Bro Pam. It's Bro where I like. I just like the way he plays the bass guitar with his tummy. I love that. I don't like, it's Bro Faith I like. I like that he's gap tooth. That Christ has called me to follow the gap tooth. Paul now comes and says, calm down. Whether it's Paul, Apollos, Peter, they are all yours. They all can get you blessed. Why are you choosing? Is it making sense? So, can you not see that it directly does not apply to you? It's a letter written to Corinth. Now, the implication or the application to us in this present day will be to look at it and say, okay, then he now goes away from Paul and Apollos and says, life, death, the world, things to come. What are the things to come? You need to ask. Is it making sense? Bible study is for serious Christians. Learn something? I told you the story of someone who said, saw a post on Facebook. If you will bow to me, I will give you the kingdom of the world and not the glory therefore. If you will bow and worship me. And people were saying, amen, amen, I bow and worship you. But that was the devil talking. I didn't mean the devil has a Facebook account. I mean, that's Luke 4, 6 and 7. That was it. And the devil took him to tempt him and said, if you will bow to me, I will give you the kingdoms of the world. And people were saying amen because they didn't see the devil said. But can't I now use it? Can't God give me the kingdom of the world and everything if I bow and worship him? But is that what the Bible says? No. So I told him, I said, okay, are you following me? This is not my teaching. So I said, okay. You say it can fit, right? You say it fits. And you're using it fits as a theological stand. That is because it fits that God can also give me the kingdom of the world. He said, ask for the nations and I'll give it to you, right? So, because God can also give me the nations if I worship him. That's if I pray and preach. So I say, listen to your argument. So I gave him a very canal So I said, tell me the part of the day that we have. Morning, before you get afternoon, you get to noon. Eh? Noon is just 1 minute. Right? So, morning, noon, afternoon. Eh? Some people will have dawn? Throughout. Whatever. Eh? Okay, evening. And midnight. Is it night before midnight? Night. Midnight, the morning. So I said, now let me, so when they labeled it, that was the label, Gabi. Morning, noon, afternoon. So I said, but it fits, to me it fits, that every part of the day is actually afternoon. Is there a part of the day that is not afternoon? 3 p.m. is afternoon. 9 p.m. is very afternoon. And 11:59 p.m. is so afternoon that it's 11:59 a.m. is so afternoon that it's almost noon. See how you sound. But it fits. Fallacy, eh? Sometimes it's because you don't think well. Every part of the day is afternoon. How does that sound? Good afternoon, guys. 7:20 p.m. Good afternoon, guys. How are you doing? Are you not going to think I'm mad? But am I right? No, I'm not. Because the context of afternoon stops by 4 p.m. ish. You can't claim it fits. It does not fit. There is evening. Someone say, could you hear me more? And someone planning, he has written it down. One guy is at work tomorrow. Do you know we are in the afternoon? 10 a.m. It's so afternoon that it's almost noon. It's very, very, very afternoon. Good, very, 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 very afternoon. Does it fit? So that's the way you use some verses and just say, that's not what the writer is telling you. It literally says, the devil said to him, if you bow to me and worship me, I'll give you all the nations of the earth. The devil said to him. You can't say God said, if I'll bow. No, he did not say that. Go back to 1 Corinthians 2. Good afternoon. So we're in verse 9, yeah? So eyes have not seen, as it's written, Isaiah 64. Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has he entered in the heart of man, the things which God, don't forget what we're looking at, Paul's three men, right? So Paul had three men he spoke about. We want to just look at it. It's going to be a spiritual growth teaching, amen. Neither has he entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by spirit. That means, yes, I've heard now. For the spirit searches all things. What are all things? What eyes has not seen and ears have not heard, but has been revealed to us. The spirit searches all these things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, the activities, the plans, the heartfelt desires of a man, save the spirit of the man. That is, the spirit of a man in him is what knows the things of a man. Even so, the things of God, no man knows but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. So he's talking to the church, those who are born of God's spirit, and he says, they know the things which are freely given by the spirit of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak. So, Paul already knows the things that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, that has not come to that of man, but he says, we speak it. These things also we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teaches, but in that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Actually, with spiritual man. But we'll get there. Verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yea, yet himself is judge of no man. For who has known the mind of God that he may instruct him? That is, that he may teach him. Now, you are not teaching God, you are teaching men of God. Who has known the mind of God that he may teach him? What I'm doing now to you. Who has known the mind of God that he may teach him? Him will now be the message, not the person. Hey, should I come again? I'm teaching Jesus now. So who has known the mind of God that he may teach him? Not that you are teaching God. Get one bro like that. Funny. He said, even the Bible says we teach him. He said, who is him? Patrick. He said, Patrick. Oh, we teach him. There's an emoji post. We teach him. Teach him. What are you teaching? Three answers to come by. We teach him. Hello. So we teach him now. I said, who? He would died. He said, who died? I said, ah. So there's a guy that died at that time, actually, from electrical stuff. Yeah. So he just did candle night, like 2 days before. So I said, you were teaching him? He said, no. So we teach him. He said, you have not gotten it. I said, I don't think I will ever get this thing. So who are you teaching? He said, I know the mind of God, so I teach him. I said, wait. Who are you teaching? He said, I cannot say it with my mouth. What can you not say? Oh, JB, what that was. Why did you say it? He said, we teach him. And he was talking about, he's teaching God. Later on, some months later, he was saying some nonsense. So we had to, an heretic after one or two admonition. Soon. He was saying things like, he and God, he sat down. And he said they were reviewing some scriptures. People are mad though. He said, he sat down. He said, that he has an issue with Psalm 23. He said, why? He said, I think it's perfect. He said, no. He said, because you don't know the deep things of God. And there's this way it appears spooky. And if you're unlearned, you yourself, you go fall. You feel, I don't know deep things. Which deep things pass your salvation? What's deeper than he died for you, he gave you his eternal life? I swear, that is the deepest. Let nobody paint the Bible like you are trying to dig out something. Amen. I say, if you want to have power, that you have to pray 5 hours every day for the next 7 years. Sometimes we need to be asking ourselves, what power? Jesus power, super power. Oh, these signs shall follow all that believe. If that's the what you're looking for, all that believe. I have discipled someone who healed a madman probably less than a week after he got saved and got filled. Was he even filled? I don't think that guy probably gets filled. He was just listening as we were doing. I should not have quoted Matthew 16. Mark 16. I said, wait. Because we have to test this thing. Say, okay. Are you saying now that if I go to, he mentioned the name of the madman. It will be fine if I lay hands on him. Because when you're teaching on how to teach now, I say, yes. I should jot it down. He didn't go that day. He just jotted it down. And the next thing we heard was that the man was healed. That was about 2 days after. He said, what you said is true. But now come and teach me. And you are there praying 5 hours. And you are on day 20 out of 7 years. I'm not talking against prayer. We pray here. Amen. We pray. Or don't we pray? I feel we will even do more very soon. Amen. And my feelings are real. See, we always say that thing that your feelings are valid. Your feelings are valid. I feel in the coming days, we will pray more. Amen. So that we can see more. But you can't claim the Bible asks you to pray 5 hours every day. If you want your prayer to be answered, you have to pray between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. That's not in God's word. God, that you not sleep. Now your heart is racing. Now you need healing from looking for power. From looking for power, now you need healing. So, who has known the mind of God that he may teach him? Him will be a message. Is it making sense? That you may instruct people about him. That you may... So that you don't turn to... I almost mentioned his name now. But we have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. We have a song like that. Blessed are my eyes. I see the glory. Blessed are my ears. Yeah, I thought you said eyes, I've not seen. But you're blessed are your eyes, right? Blessed is my mind. I have the mind of Christ. Blessed are my... You're blessed. Well, you say, eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. But you say, blessed are your eyes. They have seen the glory of God. Interesting. I have the mind of Christ. So, chapter 3 now. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Don't forget, he already mentioned spiritual. So if you have been going, you observe that Paul is mentioning three kinds of people. I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For either though you are unable to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envy, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and work as men? So, in chapter 2, verse 13, it says, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but in that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual man. But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is, that's 15. He that is, so Paul mentions a natural man. Say natural man. That's the first man. Then he mentions a spiritual man. So he says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, because they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot discern them, because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man, so we now have the natural man, the spiritual man. Then in chapter 3 verse 1, he says, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, that is, as a spiritual man, but as unto, so the third man, a carnal man. Paul's three men. The spiritual man, the carnal man, and the natural man. And in the coming hours and sessions and tracks. We'll be exploring these three men. Amen. Today, introduction. Enjoy ourselves. We'll be looking at these Paul's three men, which starts with the natural man. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. And it's funny that the direct reference of this verse is almost Peter. When Jesus said unto him in Matthew 16, learn something. So eyes have not seen, ears have not read, right? And you want to change. You need to find out what the Bible is saying. You don't just jump guns. Say, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the weak say I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong. But that was not a confession of faith. Now, of course, you can say, oh, name of the Lord Jesus, I'm strong. You know, we have a song like that. I go on. I'm not weak. You want to sing another one? I'm so strong. I go on and on and eh? I thought you sing very well. I go on. I can't stop. And I move on. I go on and on and on. Sing yourself. With July 2025. I go on. And I can't stop. Oh, I move on. I'm so strong.
I go on and on and on.
Eh? One more time. In the name of Jesus. And I can't stop. I move on. I'm so strong. I go on and on and on. Hallelujah. You go on. You know, I go on. I'm so strong. Now, when Joel says, let the weak say I'm strong, it was sarcasm. Israel were going to fight the enemy. And Israel were telling God that these guys look like they're going to beat us. Israel has always been stubborn till present day. Amen. I beg. Please, maybe if you can remove that one from the teaching. It's not as if it's from a solo that the entire Nigeria. It's not happening in FCT. It's solo. I beg. So Israel went to tell God. Bible Israel, I'm sorry, guys. Bible Israel went to tell God and said, these guys are strong. They might defeat us. So God now said, let the weak say I am strong. That is, he's telling the enemy they are weak, but they are claiming to be strong. Have you had someone who is so small try to beat you before? Eh? Sometimes I see light and it's fighting people and it's saying, leave me alone. And you see the hand, the small hand. You know, no. And you're looking at the hand and say, what's this? Exactly what God was saying. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let them show power. It will end in their shame. So imagine you as a believer and that's your faith verse. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the weak say I'm strong. No. Are there other parts of the scriptures where you could, of course, in fact, there are no direct confessions in the Bible. I said you go to David. David has some, you know, because he faced a lot. But you can always read through and then apply their lives to yours and say, you know what? If God will lead David into battle and be with him and he came out victorious, I'm victorious. You get that? If God will take David from where nobody thought about him and made him king and made him escape all of Saul's arrows and the devices of the enemy, then I'll win. Is it making sense? But to go and say, let the weak say I'm strong, and that's your, no. You need to read. I'm not saying you are not strong. I'm not saying, don't say you are strong. No, I'm just saying that particular verse in Joel is not about your faith. In fact, it's more of mockery, not Reno. It's more of a mockery to say, bring it on. Let the weak say I'm strong. Is it making sense? So you see that we have to read the Bible properly. So we're looking at the natural man. Don't forget, that's where we are. Paul says, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. And the direct verse is Matthew 16:23. When Jesus turns to Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. You are a rock of offense. For you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. So that means, Jesus is telling Peter, this is how a natural man thinks. Now the question is, who is the natural man? Simple. The man who cannot receive the things of God. Let's put it in simpler terms. The man who is not born again. This simpler term will explain it broader, more as the day dawn. The man who is not born again, he calls him the natural man. Don't forget, in 1 Corinthians, he already tells you from chapter 1, verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. How many remember the years we were doing this teaching? I think it was Abale, Abi. Yeah. 18, that means 2018. 7 years ago. I thank God I baptized none of you. He says Crispus and Gaius. Sometimes I wonder how Crispus and Gaius will be feeling. Because Paul is saying, I think I baptized none of you. Lest any of you should say that I baptized in my own name. That's not what you're going to. And I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I don't know if I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now listen, verse 18. Look at your Bible, please. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. No, so that's sarcasm. It's called foolish. Foolishness will mean what they call the preaching, not what God calls it. So when I say it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, is Paul saying preaching is foolish? It's what the wise of the world call preaching. Is it making sense? That's what they call the cross. They call it foolish. The wise of this world call it foolish. They say, okay, God has now made the wisdom of this world foolish. We'll get, calm down. Just calm. Let's read through. For after that, in the wisdom, verse 21, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God. For he pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Because the natural man will have to be foolish to receive. The wisdom of the natural man rejects the wisdom of God. I think we taught this in two kinds of wisdom. We touched on it a bit. Now, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Can you see that? Foolishness of God, as though God were foolish. God is not foolish. But he's using, is it figures of speech we're going to call it now? It pleases God, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Because the natural man sees the message of the cross, Christ crucified, eternal life, as foolish. He exemplifies them as the Greeks and the Jews. He said to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. They don't see it as anything. It's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. When I say that foolishness is the power of God. So Paul had already established from chapter 1, where we are going to, is that there are men who cannot receive the things of the Spirit, not because it is not given to them to receive, but because of their own wisdom. So there is a wisdom of this world, and then there is a wisdom of God. The wisdom of this world calls the wisdom of God. You got it. Because that's going to come in handy when we start looking at the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. So Paul had three kinds of men that he spoke about. And we need to know, of course, the believer in Christ is no longer the natural man. In quotes. Of course, you're still natural. Amen. You're mortal, right? You've eaten today, have you not? What did you eat? Bread.
Some people I was asking all the apple bread.
You know, bread. So you've eaten. Why are you eating? Because there's still a part of you that is as natural as it comes. But Paul says, as natural as you look, as mortal as you look, there is a man who has received the wisdom of God. So, if you are following the line, what is that thing that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, and has not come to the mind of man, that man can receive, that God has revealed? Eh? Say it now. No, don't say salvation. When did you, have we mentioned salvation today? You are doing guru to the answer. Eh? God's wisdom. Eh? Is he had? Let's start again. It says, God has something in mind. Chapter 1. For the world. The Jews did not receive it because they see it as a stumbling block, as an offense. Why? Why would someone come to say he wants to die for us? He's the Messiah. This one, Messiah. Why would they kill the Messiah? You see the sarcasm? It's almost an oxymoron. Why would they kill the Savior? Should the Savior not be saving, not dying? So, I get why the Greeks would say this is foolish. Imagine you call someone a Savior. And you find the Savior on television, national television, hands bound, crying. And you say, Egbami, I don't know anything about it. And someone say, that's the Savior, let's follow him. What will you say? Eh?
Nah.
I follow with no road. Amen. That's how they were seeing Jesus. No, if you were thinking about the Savior, now let's talk about the Messiah. What the prophet said, he will come, he will save Israel. Now they thought he would save Israel from their political bondage. Right? They were under the Roman rule. Right? Right? They were being governed by another nation, a sovereign nation. So, they were expecting that someone would come, hey, revolution now, and say, we are getting Israel out. We'll be Pilate. We'll be Pilate. Hashtag, we'll be Pilate. Hashtag, Mio-Bokoko. Right? They were that's the Messiah they were expecting. Then a child was born. Messiah is meant to be supernatural, as the prophet said. He is the Son of God. Huh? Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That is, that's the Son of Prophecy. I said that last week, I explained that last week. I'm going to go around. I'm explaining the Son of Man. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember? Okay, good. So that's the Son of Prophecy, the fulfillment of prophecy. Good. We were expecting that even the Messiah, when they see him, when Herod, you know, there's a way you see something and then you just say, I sign off. Right? Like, see what happened in Egypt now, for example. That last night, all the firstborn, Moses did not have to go to Pharaoh again. He said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, I let them go. You get, that's mighty hand. The prophet will record it, says, he let Israel go by a mighty hand. That's God. Good. They were expecting that when the Messiah come, if he does one leg, the heart will shake. Right? If he speaks, the heavens will tremble. If he sneezes, that is, na flood. If he says, Omiyale, straight up. Then they see him born in the manger. There was no even room. There was no room in the hotel. Will you believe the Messiah? Born to a carpenter. If you're a carpenter, I'm sorry. It's not like, I'm saying like, was not a tax collector, was not born to one of the princes, he was not born like Isaiah, for example, or Moses in the palace. Born to Joseph, that the only thing we know about him is that he dreams, and he's a carpenter. And he said, behold the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. They can't slap you. Now why John Ron go with Ernest to say it? He didn't stay in town. He can slap you. I said, eh? So, to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. It's an offense. To say, our long expected Messiah, Jacob died expecting him. Isaiah died expecting him. Ezekiel died expecting him. Jeremiah. All the prophets, whether minor or major. Now you know how you classify them. Nahum. Obadiah. Everybody died expecting him. Then he came. Behold him. In the temple. He could not even pay tax. Then you say, they killed him. He shows that you're the Messiah. Don't die. On the cross, just do. Just do Father Yoro. Have you known Father Yoro? Okay, yes, Jesus. This movie these days. You know Father Yoro, brother? Eh? Movies these days. The incantation. Father Yoro will force give you 3. How many of you know Father Yoro? Old Nollywood. Ah! Yeah, all this incantation. All this, Lisa Bia, whatever. All this, Netflix movie. Father Yoro, before we start war, he will give you 4. There's no war. You are gone. You know? That was the respect of the Messiah. What do you think was running in Peter when he caught the soldier's ear? That is this the time. I will make him show himself. Because I know that he cannot get him. And he saw them. Handcuff him. Do something now. When the disciples saw they could not do something, they ran away. He's going to be Messiah. Peter has to go and confirm again that he will soon free himself. And he saw them beating him. 39 stripes. He was counting it. With every white, you know, that's Messiah and Abushia. What? Okay, I see what he wants to do. Grand entrance, prison break, and they put him on the cross. He's not going to die. I told you. He told us that he's the Son of God. And he said, "Unto your hands I commit my spirit." He said, yeah. Imagine preaching that and say that is the wisdom of God. So the Greeks will say, that's foolish. So it makes sense now I said that. The natural man will have to be foolish to become wise in God's plan. So Paul's 3 men. The natural man, the man who cannot receive the Spirit or who has not received the Spirit. So Paul kept doing that comparison in the book of Corinth. Or in his letter to the Corinthians. That's why, you look at chapter 2, verse 7. Let me start from verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. So, you call that the narrative is about man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. Is it making sense? Man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. My preaching and the teaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, verse 4, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What is the power of God? I already told you. Chapter 1, verse 18. The preaching of the cross. Unto them that preach, that perish, foolishness, but unto us that is saved. So what is the power of God in Corinth? The preaching of the cross. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? Go back to chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can we say, the preaching of the cross is the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Eh? So, we are reading now. We're getting there. So, the preaching of the cross and the effects therein is the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6 now. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of the world that comes to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden, which God ordained before the world unto his glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes have not seen this wisdom. Is it making sense how to read now? So you don't just go, eyes have not seen. Eyes have not seen waiting. We've not seen flying cars too. Is that what he's talking about? No. So, as it is written, eyes have not seen, yet nor ears heard, neither has it come to the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. Love him would be to believe in him. Alright, good. But God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. How did God reveal it to us by his Spirit? Through the preaching of the cross. This teaching should be setting you ready for who you are in Christ. Amen. Yes, we are going to go through all these basic things too. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. He searches the deep things of God. So, what is the deep things of God? The wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? The preaching of the gospel. Abi? So, what is the deep things of God? The gospel. Stop looking for one thing. That's how some people have got into some orthotic practices. in the name of searching for deep and deep and deep revelations. There is nothing deeper than the gospel. Every other thing is explanation of it. It's understanding of it. The gospel is the height of the wisdom of God. For what man knows the spirit of a man, save the spirit of the man that is in him? Verse 11. Even so, the spirit of God knows no man but the spirit of God. The things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. The things we ought to speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, the word comparing might look like I'm doing what an opposite. No, he's saying we are explaining spiritual things with the spiritual man. So it's not comparing. English can be deceptive. Certainly the word to explain, to teach. That's why, but why which the Holy Ghost teaches? This teaching explains spiritual things with the spiritual man. So that means, to know what God is doing, you look at the spiritual man. To see the expression of the wisdom of God, you look at the spiritual man. Who is the spiritual man? The man who has received the wisdom of God. How hard is that to figure out if you read from chapter 1? So, the natural man, the man who did not receive the spirit of God. Let's put the spirit of God in broader terms now. The wisdom of God. Let's put the wisdom of God in broader terms. The gospel. Is that simple? So that's the natural man. The one they went to on outreach. This is what God has planned for you. This is God's plan for you according to his word. If you believe in him and he says, no. It's too stupid. It's too stupid. That's someone told me some years ago. He said, if your Jesus is real, I should not wake up tomorrow. So I told him, I said, you will know he's real because you will wake up. He said, no, let him show me. I said, no. God is not interested in the death of a sinner. Amen. But I should repent. That's Peter. Is that not our agreement now? Eh? That's in the book of Peter. I'm not even giving you first or second. I will ask for your note next week. He must have put the verse there. Amen. God is long-suffering. I will not have a sinner perish, but I shall come to repentance. Is that clear? Good. So I told him that. He said, oh. So are you saying that the way God will show me that he's God is that I wake up? I said, exactly. The wisdom of this word is in direct contrast with the wisdom of God. But the natural man cannot receive the wisdom of God. The moment he receives it, he becomes the spiritual man. Thank you. Paul's three men. But Paul now introduces another man. Chapter 3. But I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Meaning, I can't see the wisdom. But as unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. The word is the word nepiazo. Or nepios. N-E-P-I-O-S. Or you can put N-E-P-I-A-Z-O. Z for zebra. N-E-P-I-A-Z-O. Why are you not writing, brethren? Nepios. Nepiazo. Have you written it? Write it. It's part of the learning. I don't always understand it that way. No. You understand it in years to come. You will now be looking for the notes. Say, have you ever looked at your note before? Say, when was this study group? I say, I did not write anything. Amen. So, it says, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual. Even as unto But I speak unto you as unto carnal. So introducing another man. A spiritual man who does not display the wisdom of God. Thank you. You are getting there. Right. A spiritual man who does not display the wisdom of God, he now calls him a carnal man. So we have Paul's three kinds of men. Three kinds of men. The natural man who calls the wisdom of God foolish. He cannot see the things that eyes have not seen. So when he say eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, whose eyes? Thank you. Are we getting there now? So, I just have to systematically read. Don't just say good afternoon. And it's 9 p.m. It fits, but it's wrong. So, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, It has not come to the mind of the natural man. The things that God has prepared for him, the plan is for the natural man. Because every spiritual man came from the natural man. But Paul puts, there's a man in the middle. Because him, the babes in Christ. You know, it's not Jesus bad deal. You know, I've heard anything. I'm a babe in Christ. Babe, we are babes in Christ. I saw that one on Instagram sometimes last year. So, yeah. You know, churches do skits now and all of that. It's nice. It's fine. Amen. Amen. We don't do it. Our own is, hi, my name is Owen Ledeji. I'm inviting you to believers. I mean, skits of, throw something. It's okay. Audience matters. Amen. There's even someone. Give this meat pie to someone or double it for the next person. I know a good meat pie. Or double it for the next person. I double it. And then that last person now took the meat pie. Now went to meet the friends and say, let's share. You will come again next week. You will do it again next week. It's okay. It's fine. The natural man and the carnal man. There's a man in the middle. Because the fact that a natural man has received the preaching of the cross, that means he now has seen the mind of God. Again, he has seen the things of God. The things of the Spirit. Is that what Paul calls it? No man knows the things of a man, save the Spirit of the man. Same thing. No man knows the things of God, save the Spirit of God. So, the things of God, the wisdom of God, the preaching of God, the demonstration of the Spirit and power, is it the same thing? Wrap it up, nigga. That's why you should go on. That's why you should be writing properly. Calm down. What I want you to do is read 1 Corinthians 1 to 1 Corinthians 3 before the next midweek service. Is that okay? So that's going to give us a lot of room. You already understand. In fact, read the entire 1 Corinthians 1. Is that clear? Is that clear? I think it ends in chapter 16. So you reach 1 Corinthians 1. To 16. Understand the concept. So you understand why Paul introduced the carnal man. Because in chapter 1, he started by saying, there are contentions among you. Verse 11. For it has been declared to me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, every one of you has said, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Is Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? So you understand where he now brought the concept of the carnal man. Is it making sense? So he's now explaining to them who they were in Christ. So the entire First Corinthians, you may forget, this is the same church where they were eating the body of Christ. Right? Where the rich were displaying themselves as rich, and those who were not as affluent were displaying themselves as, not that displaying themselves, they were dying of hunger. And that's why you now see some are hungry, some are full. In 1 Corinthians 11. Remember? This is that same church. So, the entire conversation was because there were divisions among them. They were the ones that say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. This is the same church. This is the same church where someone was sleeping with his father's wife. This is the same church where two believers were carrying themselves to court. And Paul says, don't you have people among you that can judge you? Don't you have a pastor? They don't. This one's pastor is Apollos. This one's pastor is Paul. Anything that does not have it is a monster. It's the same church. Same church. Well, I say, don't you know that believers will judge the world? That's chapter 2. The spiritual man judges all things. With what? With the wisdom of God. You're arriving there. Somebody had me, Matthew, arrive. You're arriving there. What is the wisdom of God? It's not a bow, The gospel of Christ, the preaching of the cross. And now we're getting current well now. So, the idea of the entire book is contentions among them, divisions among them, so much carnality. So Paul now introduces a man who, though he has received the wisdom of God, if a natural man receives the wisdom of God, he becomes Paul's spiritual man. Don't forget, we are looking at, it's Paul, these are Paul's labels. Jesus did not teach a natural man, a spiritual man. No, Jesus did not teach that. This is Paul's label. That's why we call it Paul's three men. Is it making sense? This is Paul's way of explaining to the church in Corinth. So he says, when you receive, so he said, they're telling them, why you baptize in the name of Paul? Why would you say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos? Then he said, okay. Thank God I did not baptize many of you. Only Crispus and Gaius. And the house of Stephanas. After that, I don't think I remember any. Then he's not saying, maybe you know that there's a foolishness of the world. There's the wisdom of God, that the world calls foolish. But you are not there, because you have received it. Then he said, but you know, when I came to you at first, I didn't come to you preaching man's wisdom. I came to you with the excellency of speech and power. The wisdom of God. I didn't teach you with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, yes. And you received it, because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Which eyes? Natural man. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. But it has been revealed unto us by his spirit, because the spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, right? But what things know a man? The things of a man than the spirit of a man. What things know the spirit of the spirit than the spirit of God? So because of that, natural man cannot receive the things of God, for it is foolish to him. And they are spiritually discerned. So he's telling them who they are in Christ. They have moved from the natural man to the spiritual man. Then immediately it comes on them. Say, but I. Amen. The but. Say, but I, chapter 3, verse 1, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Learn something? Show your neighbor in 3 minutes. We'll pick it up from there next week. Don't forget, we have an assignment. 1 Corinthians 1 to 16. We're going to read through, and then we're going to look at the wisdom of God to the church. Are you blessed?